There are two univariate statistics I want you to be familiar with. And these are homework two. A single sample t-test tests hypothesis about the mean of the population represented by the sample. This little symbol here called mu, lowercase mu in the Greek alphabet, is what we typically use to represent a population mean. So if you see a mu, think mean, but think population mean, not sample mean. Sample means are our friend X bar. The null value is the hypothesized population mean based on either prior knowledge or intention. So I might think that my population has a mean of 19, so I want my sample to have a mean close to 19. Or I might not really care what the whole population is, but I want a sample of 19-year-olds because I want to represent a population of 19-year-olds. Okay? It can be one or the other. And one of the things that causes problems is that most books pick one of the two and act as if that's where nulls come from. But nulls can come from two places. We either know what the population mean is and want to represent it in our sample, or we intend to represent a particular population and hope that our sample that came from that population, whatever that population mean is, that our sample represents a population with a certain mean. Can you separate those two? Got that Monday morning look. In the first one, I have done multiple samplings from the population. And those multiple samplings lead me to believe that the population mean is around 19. I want my next sample to represent the same population as the rest of them. I want it to have a mean of 19. Second case. I've done samples from the population. The average age is 25. What I'm interested in is 19-year-olds. So I go try to get 19-year-olds and want to show that my mean of my sample is 19 years old so that I'm representing a population of 19-year-olds. How are we doing? And the thing is that difference between those two tends to cause problems because people have been taught one or the other. This is your intention. Did you get it? This is who they are. Did you get it? They're not the same thing. But it's the same significance test. And that's one thing you're going to discover is we have fewer significance tests than we have research questions. So there's always this doubling up which questions get used for which statistics. Retaining the null means the sample is equivalent to the population. Not equal, that's not a statistical phrase. Equals math, equivalent is statistics. Not different enough from to care. That's what retaining the null means. Rejecting the null, the sample mean is different from the population mu. I didn't get what I wanted. Doesn't matter why I wanted it. I either did or didn't get what I wanted. Now this leads to something else. When you're doing the single sample t-test to ask if your sample has the mean that you were hoping for whichever reason, you are rooting for the null. You might even say that your hypothesis is the null because you want your sample to represent the population. So you want to retain the null. And some people go, I was told you can't do that. Bullshit. This is one of the places the statisticians and data analysts part ways. Most statistics is built on two contrary ideas, the null hypothesis and the alternative hypothesis. What we do as data analysts is start with a research hypothesis. What do we hope and expect to find based on a literature review? It could be something really complicated, or it could be, yeah, we ought to get 19-year-olds. We start with a research hypothesis. The null is just part of the statistical significance test because we have to start somewhere, and in math, the easiest place to start is zero. So what all of this means is, as data analysts, as researchers and practitioners, we insist on the opportunity, the privilege, the allowance to hypothesize a null. We can say, everybody else who goes to this stratify, or everybody else who goes to this proposed sampling frame gets 19-year-olds, we ought to get 19-year-olds too. When we get into bivariate statistics starting on Wednesday, we are allowed to say, I don't think those two variables are correlated. We can have a research hypothesis that is the null. Imagine if all of our theories insisted that all variables were related. How's that for a nightmare? The whole idea of an experiment, a true experiment, is that by random assignment and manipulation, I can uncorrelate everything I want to from the IV. So what you're saying is that if I pick any potential confound, whether it's an initial equivalence potential confound or an ongoing equivalence potential confound, I'm going to hypothesize no mean difference between the groups. Of course, I'm not going to randomly assign and then hypothesize that it failed completely on every variable. You with me? Obviously, we have to be able to hypothesize a null. Now, there are additional obligations that come with that, which we will talk about, because the easiest way to retain a null that you hypothesized is to run a small, crappy study. Right? No power, lots of confounds, that'll push us towards a null. So if you are hypothesizing a null, you have additional obligations to run the study cleanly. And we know that. Sampling matters, measurement matters, confounds matter. That's what all of that was for, is to set this up. If we look at a set of variables, we are allowed to say, those are positively correlated, those are negatively correlated, them's ain't correlated at all. That's in fact what we do all of the time in a single sample t-test, because we are hypothesizing that we got what we wanted. And in order to conclude that we got what we wanted, we're going to have to retain the null. Now, all the same thing about a goodness of fit chi-square test. Just like you have to say single sample t-test, because there's a bunch of other single sample tests and a bunch of other t-tests, so you got to put the whole thing together. You need to say chi-square goodness of fit test, because there's lots of other goodness of fit tests and there's lots of other chi-square tests. So this is kind of like when you're not allowed to say random assignment anymore, because we know four kinds, at least. Can't just say chi-square, can't just say t-test, there's multiples. The hypothesis is about the distribution of category values. I have decided to operationalize my categorical variable into these particular categories, and I have a hypothesis about how those categories will be distributed proportionally speaking. Proportion or percent, have fun. Like, I may think that my population is 65% novices and 35% experts. That's my null. Again, where the hell did you get the 65 and the 35? I might know my population well enough to know that's my population, so the next sample should represent them too. Or I might want a group that's 65% novices and 35% experts. I don't really care what's out there. This is what I want. Still my null. It could be first year students, sophomores and juniors. Whatever. You pick the category variable, and then all of the careful caveats that we had talking about operationalization and measurement. Right? The most important one is don't other. Don't grab 15 or 16 categories and put them together and poof. We had some data I told you this summer. What the part I didn't tell you is that sometimes the other was 80% of the sample. So either they don't care about most people or they sampled very oddly. But you had about 10%, about 10%, and everybody else that got lumped together was 80% of the people. We got to talk. Again, Most of the time when doing a goodness of fit chi-square, we are rooting for the null. There's two different uses of univariate inferential statistical tests. The first one is to check up on the sample. This is the one I said we don't do nearly often enough. I want to know whether I got a representation of the population I intended. So I check. I run univariate statistics on whatever variables I think define my population. If they're quantitative, I run one sample t-test. If they're categorical, I run goodness of fit chi-square. And I then tell my reader or my listener or whoever, before I ever start testing hypotheses, did you get who you wanted? And again, there, typically you're hoping to retain the null on each and every variable. That there are no interesting differences between the profile of people you were going for and the profile of people that you got. The second use of univariate inferential statistics is to learn new stuff about the population. So here, in this first one, we can only check up on variables that we know what's going on in the population. Does that make sense? Typically descriptors, but it might be behavior. It might be something like 47% of these people are brand loyal. Here, these are variables that are new, that we don't know about the population. You with me? Checking up on variables we already use to describe the population and testing hypotheses about new variables that are now going to join our description of the population. Usually the two go together. We have some variables that define our population. So we check to see if our sample matches the population. Then we've got other variables that we wanted to learn something new about. Once we know our sample represents the population, let's go learn new shit. Does that make sense? Now, what's complicated about this is how the hell am I supposed to know? Well, ask. Why are you running that? Because I think I should have 19-year-olds. I'm checking to see if I do. Clearly, you're checking. If they say, nobody's ever looked at the age of this population. I want to know what the age is. I think it's 20, but I don't know. Let's go see if it's close to 20. And usually they're used in combination. Use some variables to check up and other variables to learn new stuff. So let's play. I expect that. Magic words. I expect that after 6 months treatment, 50% will have improved, 30% will have stayed the same, and 20% will have gotten worse. My other analysis I'm doing is, I'm trying to represent females that have an average of about 12 years of education. Which one of those is checking on my population? Which one is trying to learn new stuff? How are we doing? My target population has about 30% product loyal and 70% product disloyal. Does my sample represent this population? Sound like checking? I want to know if the average satisfaction rating is higher than 4. I'm trying to learn something. I don't expect it to be more than 4. I've never looked. I'm hoping it's more than 4 because I'm on the branding team. It'd really suck if it was less than 4. But I'm trying to learn something new.